It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I bet you ain't never even been laid. How about that?
Now, if one of you gentlemen would be so kind as to give my lady friend here a glass of cheap white wine, I'm going down the hall to find a can.
Welcome back.
So much sometimes I forget to go.
Peter Falk.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
One more thing.
Even one of those days. lots gone on today on the big show. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, the Widow Denver, Dreema Denver. I don't know whether she's written a book or what she's going to talk about. I said yes.
Good
when
for you.
When you get a chance to talk to Gilligan's Widow.
That's right.
And they are potheads, Falker. At least that's the way
I
understand
it. He sold to Marianne.
And also Joe McLeod, still a movie reviewer. Did he really? Oh, he sold medical marijuana to Marianne, didn't he?
Yeah. Let's say that.
Is Marianne still with us?
She was picked up on a marijuana charge, I think, over the summer.
Didn't she have like the big casino or something like
that?
And that's why?
No, I don't think so.
She just likes smoking pot.
Yeah, I think she likes it.
Like others
we'll
we
know. We'll find out if Bob Denver was a good lay.
All that on tomorrow's show. Thursday, we will have in studio Lloyd Kaufman, director of Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
Lloyd Gold?
And, of course, our Extreme Intern Makeover 2008.
So we are going for the Peabody Award.
Yeah, we're going for all of it, baby.
Do we get to screen this movie before we discuss it?
Did someone pass?
Not me.
No.
No, you didn't?
All I smell is this lovely candle.
I think that candle smells like fart.
No.
No, it's actually, try it out. It's nice.
Pumpkin pie. Come
over
here. Well,
I'm getting something over here, and it ain't me.
It ain't pie.
I don't know what it is, but
it ain't pie.
Without further ado, let's get our final segment of Buzz Burbank. Here he is, the man with the affliction t-shirt.
Well, despite what we reported yesterday, as it turns out, Barack Obama may still have a slight lead in the race for who will lead us out of this mess.
Do you need some Osium? Pardon me, Buzz.
Are you all right?
I think it's the candle is actually bringing other odors to the
surface.
Well,
here, let me bring the candle.
I just smell candle. It's actually very pleasant.
It's a wonderful candle.
Rob had a piece of wax that fell off the candle, and he held it up, and it was the perfect shape. He said, here, have an infant's ear. That's what it was shaped. It was very weird.
It's pumpkin flavored.
All right, don't make a mess.
Here, check this out. I think you'll like
it. Oh, God, look at that wax all over the place.
That's bee wax.
Speewag. Oh, that smells nice here.
See?
I told you.
I'll enjoy the last segment.
Keep that handy.
Very nice.
Obama may still have a slight lead. New York's Quinnipiac University.
Quinnipiac College.
That's right.
Say it again?
Quinnipiac.
Oh, that's nice.
Says Obama has a 9-point lead over John McCain, 50% to 41%. But the poll
What are you doing?
It's a flame.
Mike, it's fire.
It was hot wax. I only can tolerate that on my nipples.
Some people enjoy that, King.
That's the only thing.
You're
so
like
is there
jockey.
A percentage lead? Is it the margin of error? What is the lead
No, just
now?
A little beyond the margin of error, 9-point lead. So if you give it a 4 or 5 margin of error, then you still got a 4 or 5-point lead.
Can we agree on one thing on today's show, that these polls right now are BS? It doesn't really matter.
They all come up reading something slightly differently. But like I said before, I like them because they give us kind of a daily report card on where we are.
And you see that there are dramatic daily fluctuations.
Shifts
also.
Constantly. Obama has the lead among women and the young and almost unanimous support among black voters. But among whites, McCain has the lead, 49% to 42%. Obama's weak spot is white people. 9% of the voters surveyed said they are either somewhat uncomfortable or entirely uncomfortable with
what's going on this side?
Having a black president. 88% actually said they were entirely or somewhat comfortable with the idea.
I think this is going to be the obvious battle that Barack Obama is going to face in this election.
That
no
was
surprises.
49 to 42. Does that leave 7% undecided?
7% who just don't know.
They don't know.
I love those people, and those are the people we're going to pay attention to on election night. Get used to that.
Selfish people.
We're here, just people that don't like to think.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to make my mind up at the last second.
Oh, you came up to me in my minivan. I don't want to answer.
And don't you think when you watch those little town hall meetings on election night, where they're sitting there with the undecided people, that a lot of those people are undecided because they like the attention they get when they're undecided?
It makes you wonder, doesn't
it? Asshats.
There's no better reminder that race is a factor in this race than TV fossil John McLaughlin, who told his group this week,
Robbie Bobby, good and puppy.
He told them Obama's an Oreo.
Question, does it frost Jackson, Jesse Jackson, that someone like Obama, who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled as an Oreo, a black on the outside, a white on the inside, that an Oreo should be the beneficiary of the long civil rights struggle which Jesse Jackson spends his lifetime fighting for.
That is a slam on McLaughlin. I'm going to defend McLaughlin here. He didn't say it. He framed that in the way that he's not calling Barack Obama an Oreo. He is framing that in that. Play it again. Listen to the way he says it.
Yeah.
He gets the pass because he frames it where it's not coming out of his mind. It's coming out of other people's perceptions.
The key words are fits the stereotype.
Yeah.
He's saying Obama does fit the stereotype, therefore he's
saying... Hold on, let's listen to it.
Let's have it again.
Question, does it frost Jackson, Jesse Jackson, that someone like Obama, who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled...
Stop.
...as an Oreo...
Who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled.
Who fits the stereotype, he's saying.
Yeah, well, you know what? He could have easily gone through, made the same point without using that phrase.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll give it to you.
He meant it, indeed, in the nicest possible way. McLaughlin was actually trying to defend Jesse Jackson's recent remark that he'd like to cut Obama's nuts off for talking down to black voters.
I'm always on guard to be oversensitive to stuff like this, especially when he framed. You're right, though. You know, he framed it almost the proper way, but then...
He got very close.
He got very close, and he blew it again. And you know, frankly, a tragically white guy like John McLaughlin.
What are you saying?
Might want to stay away from wrong.
You don't think he's young and hip?
I don't know what's wrong with me, Robbie Bobby Booby Bobby.
How old is he?
I'm 115.
Yeah, about.
Wrong.
Sorry.
Jesse Jackson, by the way, has since apologized for his remark and says everything's cool with him and Obama. Now, apparently, it's McLaughlin's turn.
I just want to say it's cool and McLaughlin can continue to drool.
Thank you.
Very nice, Jesse.
Good
job.
That's
good.
New Yorker magazine, meanwhile, about as liberal as the print medium gets, finds itself apologizing for a cover cartoon that shows Obama in a turban and his wife Michelle sporting an afro and a machine gun.
You know, New Yorker magazine, mm-hmm. and I've read the New Yorker for years, mm-hmm. and it was satire.
Yes.
How dumb are we in this country? I realize there is a segment of Americana, and I've spoken to some of them, that believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. Uh-huh. And I know how wrong they are. Uh-huh. But I would say the vast majority of people that think like that are probably in places that don't get the New Yorker magazine or where the New Yorker magazine does not have its greatest readership.
Uh-huh.
But still, it's a magazine cover. They were doing a parody. It is a cartoon. Lighten the F up.
Mr. Editor, please explain yourself.
The idea is to attack lies and misconceptions and distortions about the Obamas and their background and their politics.
And David Remnick says that if people didn't get it, then news shows on Comedy Central wouldn't be as successful or popular as they are.
If there's no possibility for satire, if you always have to look for the joke that absolutely everyone will get. You won't have Jon Stewart. You won't have Stephen Colbert.
And there's that.
And he's absolutely right.
I agree.
And the land of comedy does not confine itself to television to radio shows. You know, we get a pretty, decent pass in this business for stuff that's funny that we can say that's satirical.
Yeah.
And if it's not, why? Because it's on the cover of the New Yorker magazine. You have a different standard. BS.
Once again, I really hate it when it starts getting towards people trying to censor anything that's based on opinion.
Yeah, and it's
right, wrong, or indifferent.
It's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Could the cartoon have been done in a different way? Could it have had maybe some kind of caption?
This is satire.
They could have done it in such a way where, you know, if that was on the cover of some of the conservative publications, it would be a different story.
Oh, yeah.
So but the whole thing is, you know, once again, here we are making a big deal. This is on the Today Show this morning. They're talking about it all day long.
In the future, if you're not too bright, don't buy New Yorker.
You're
not going to get the cartoons.
Advice,
you're not going to get them.
You know, once again, we're sitting here with the country in economic chaos,
yeah,
with food prices going
up.
Let's pay attention to a cartoon on the cover of a magazine. Dumbasses.
If you're dumb, read Ziggy.
Really?
Former wrestler Governor Jesse Ventura was on Larry King last night to announce he's not running for the Senate. He says he'll change his mind if God tells him to, the way God told George Bush to invade Iraq.
Well, then maybe at 5 o'clock tomorrow, Larry, don't call me a liar. Just understand God sent me to file.
And once the wrestler...
God. Does he believe that?
Always the wrestler.
Federal politics is very much like pro wrestling.
Satire.
In front of us, the public, they pretend they're angry with each other and they pretend to not like each other, but in the back rooms, they're all buddies and cutting deals.
Ventura says he had two choices.
Surfing versus the Senate. And I found surfing to be much more honorable than the Senate if for the next 6 years, because The ocean doesn't lie to you. The waves don't lie to you. My government does lie to me today.
Mm. I like Jesse. I like him. You need guys like that. And I'm kind of disappointed he's not running for Senate.
Well, he may very well change his mind.
If God tells me to. And that was, you know, because I didn't hear it in total context. Mm-hmm. He was being lighthearted when he said that.
Yeah, he was kidding about the God thing.
Okay, very
Maybe
good.
He can get a pinball machine in the Senate chamber.
Maybe he can get the game of bags back in the WJFK green room.
And God now, willing.
Now that Budweiser's been sold to foreigners, will Washington Redskins owner Dan Snyder buy Busch Gardens? Here's some radio guy from Florida.
The three theme parks in Orlando alone employ 7,500 people. There's speculation that InBev will likely sell off Orlando-based Busch Entertainment Corporation, which runs the theme parks in Florida, Virginia, Texas, California, and Pennsylvania. Neither Disney nor Universal are likely buyers because of their already extensive inventory of theme parks. But Six Flags, which once bought SeaWorld Ohio, is being mentioned as a possible suitor.
SeaWorld Ohio?
Company has been making overtures to try to get into the Orlando market for years.
That's Snyder. Now, finally.
Jeff Marshall, Orlando.
Thanks, Jeff. Her boyfriend would not stop smoking crack, so she picked up a heavy object and beat him with it.
Oh, dear.
That's what police say about 18-year-old Kimberly Ann Cole and her 24-year-old friend Joel Goldsmith. When he wouldn't hand over the drugs, she ripped off the already loose toilet seat and beat him senseless with it. Allegedly.
Ow.
Police say when they got there, there was blood all over the bathroom. They found a bit of cocaine and seized the toilet seat as evidence. Goldsmith will apparently be okay if he ever gets off the crack.
Oh, no.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. We want to thank hyper-miling defender Wayne Gurdes. Or Gurdes, I should say. And he was very interesting. I'm actually going to coast home on my motorcycle.
Luckily,
right now.
You live at the bottom of a hill.
Tomorrow on the show, the Widow Denver and Joe McLeod will be here. Still our movie reviewer, the executive producer of the Don and Mike Show. I'm sorry, the Mike O'Mara Show. I can't believe I did that again.
Wow.
The Mike O'Mara Show is Beth Ann McBride. Our in-studio producer is Rob Spiewak. Our phone screener is Joe Ardinger. Uh-huh. The Mike O'Mara Show comes to you from the studios of WJFK-FM in Fairfax, Virginia, and is heard exclusively on the Westwood One radio network. For Beth Ann, Rob, and Buzz Burbank, this is Mike O'Mara with another bit of poetry for you.
Nice.
Hit us with it.
Interns in duct tape and gas for our cars. Jeff got the message, but Horst is from Mars. Bubbles in water coolers. Glub, glub, glub. A similar sound to farting in the tub. Our Tuesday show has come to an end. It's time for all of us to head round the bend. We'll see you tomorrow with more fun and thrills. Gilligan's Widow. Hey, look, I got chills. You cannot escape us. You can't run and hide. Surrender and enter the house of McBride.
Beautiful.
We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Day.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.